This
week
on
the
Interesting car Show,
we talk about Australian cars,
sim racing,
lemons,
and we both become CEOs in a minute and buy a Mustang because we think we're cool.
Stay tuned.
Hell yeah, dog. Jag åkte ner till Stockholm och då fick jag se glänsande Porschar och BMW. Men jag har en kärra som är bättre
än dålig, en Volvo 142. So the Beetle.
Yes.
If you know a little bit about aircraft engines and a little bit about Beetle engines, you'll notice that they're like exactly the same. And that's why the Beetle engine's so weird. Air-cooled boxer four with push rods and shit.
Because, yeah, if you're going to copy an engine and you want to make it air-cooled, you just go to something, you go, well, they've done it before. So Porsche was like, that's a good way to do it. I mean, it's in the back, but you just do cooling.
So they copied an aircraft engine. I don't know. It's pretty weird. It's pretty interesting. I think that also might be, I mean, I feel like they rev really low. Maybe it's just the era.
Oh, no, they do. They
it's like, what, 4,800, something like that?
Max, maybe, on a good day. They don't have rev counters, but I know it's like, it's not much. And I mean, the fact is, it's air-cooled. You can't really rev it super high. The compression's not going to be that high. Yeah. I mean, they were fuel efficient for the era, but I think they did like 25 mpg.
Actually, that's not bad.
I mean, for the era, it's great.
Yeah.
But then you look at the Converse, you know, I mean, it does 0 to 60 in like 15 seconds.
Right.
So, I mean, aside from that,
what
10
do you
out of 10.
You know, it's...
And then you could get the auto stick, which I've always wanted to see one with it. It's not that impressive, but it's cool.
It's cool, right? How does that work? Does it have... It has like a regular clutch and like a... It has both, right? No?
It has... If I remember correctly, and someone who knows way too much about Beetles, which there are quite many, I don't know if they listen to this podcast, but they will correct me, but I believe it has some kind of centripetal type clutch mechanism where it has no clutch pedal.
Okay.
And then it's basically, it's an H pattern four,
mm-hmm.
but it only has three forward gears and one reverse, I think.
Okay.
I think it's different, but you don't need a left foot.
Yeah.
I remember this because there was an old ass... Excuse me, black and white ad when it came out, and it was the premise was like, there's a guy who's committed a crime, and they go, he couldn't commit the crime, he doesn't have a left leg or use of his left leg, and then they go, well, he could have if he was driving the new Volkswagen Beetle auto stick.
What a odd commercial.
Yeah, I mean, Volkswagen do that kind of shtick all the time. I mean, there's that, you remember that one I showed you from the Grand Tour? You hadn't seen it, but it was like Clarkson going, this is the man who drives a Maserati. That's a redo of
that
an old Golf commercial.
Is hilarious.
They do
I
it.
Love
They've
that
done
bit.
It so many times. I want to recreate it with my Golf just because it'd be funny. I don't know. We'd make a comedy.
Essentially, the guy who drives a Maserati is the guy who's always late to the party.
Yes.
In like every stage of his life.
It's like a Jag owner.
Yeah.
But like...
He wishes he could be a Jag owner.
Yeah, but he does it because he's... Not because he's like, oh... But of course, not like, you know, Sean Connery type suave, oh, like terribly sorry thing, but just because he's a dick. There's a difference in why they're late.
The thing is, I feel like it's in songs and stuff as well, and people see Maserati as like a premium brand. And I feel like it's because of the name, it's like Italian, you know? But it's like, I don't view Maserati, I mean, it's premium, right?
It's okay.
But I don't have like that high of an opinion of Maserati particularly.
They're
again,
loud
like
and
Jaguar.
They make a good sound.
Yeah, I mean,
Jags I like.
It's Italian, you know. What else do you expect?
Well, yeah,
right? That's like the minimum for Italian cars, right?
Yeah, I like that casual racism. Oh, it's loud. Italian, pretty good.
I'm not saying Italians loud.
Italian I am
cars.
No,
man.
I am.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
That's fine. Anyway, one of the few things I want to bring to the table, one of the few things I actually want to discuss, is I have been looking into sim racing a lot more lately.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's because of my new job, so I can afford to do it.
Congrats.
But
I can only dream.
I mean, actually, it's not that unattainable, really. But yeah, I've been looking into a lot. And I previously like, didn't care that much about it.
Yeah.
I hadn't been playing that many racing games, but I kind of really want to get into it now. And I've nearly convinced myself.
Which one?
To do it. What do you mean, which one? Like
game.
Which
simulator game? Where are you going to
base it on? I'm talking
you
more about
making
the setup.
One. Like, just go drive a car.
No, I know, but the wheel and the pedals and like the force feedback shit, that's what I'm like, I'm geeking out about that right now, and I think that could be really cool. I want to get all the games, you know, Forza,
Test Drive Unlimited too.
Test Drive. Okay, yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's the only one I want, just to relive my childhood.
I hear iRacing's really good as well.
Yeah, the Beam, that'd actually be pretty entertaining.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the setups and stuff, and I really want to get like a properly like really good one.
Yeah.
Maybe even like a VR headset so I can like look around the cockpit. I think that'd be so cool.
You could also, if you did the screen thing, you could just get find a rolled car. Depends on how mobile you want this thing to be.
Yeah.
And build a whole thing for
it.
I remember I drove one. I went to the Dallas Auto Show. It was a long time ago. It was when I was like 15 or 16.
Uh-huh.
And Mazda had for their new, like the ND Miata, I think it was just coming out at the time. They go, oh, this simulator. My dad and I got there really early because I think he was just like, it was one of the, I think he somehow got tickets to like the day where it's not just general public. Okay. There's no one there.
Yeah.
And I'm like 15 or 16 and I go up and they literally just finished like starting up the simulator.
Mm-hmm.
And it had some movement in it. Not a ton, but it was a fair amount of it. And then they were like, yeah, like, you want to have a go as many times as you want.
Cool.
I think I just did it the one time, and they were like, yeah. Like, and it was, like, literally, like, being in a...
The
cup racing type chassis. They did, like, a track day car from it. It had, you know, think you've seen a kind of Miata thing that Mazda did for racing. And you're put in this. I don't remember what game it was. I know it was more than, like, Forza Gran Turismo. It was a developer thing. The only reason I know it was a specially developed thing is I set the time... The only person I didn't beat, I was second, the only person I didn't beat was the developer of the game.
All right, let's flex a little bit over here. Right?
Yeah, he is 16. And I was kind of like, okay. Yeah, obviously I'm going to do that. I just like to think I'm good at driving, but I think that's most people.
I've seen something like that with a Dodge Challenger.
Wow.
It was like that in the... Yeah, I don't know, right? But the fucking... It was moving at each of the wheels. There was like a little, like, kind of piston thing, and it would like move around a little bit.
I've seen, yeah, they put a car cool. on a, they put like the whole car in a room. I've seen that too.
And it's interesting.
They hook it up. It's like a dynamometer, but the car doesn't turn, and then they do stuff to the, you know, so it feels putting a motor or some kind of like, you know, hydraulics on the front wheel, so you get force feedback through the actual car.
But it's like, I was looking at some of these sim racing like wheels and stuff, and. I mean, you probably have to go pretty high in the range for this, but I feel like a lot of them, they'll actually give you more force than an actual car with power steering would give you. You know what I mean? Like, it's at that point, you know? And I was looking specifically at the Fanatec ones, which are some of the higher end ones, right?
Yeah, they used to
not
have
like the
like
direct drive
Porsche
ones, because those are like thousands of dollars.
Yes.
But like their regular, like, kind of consumer ones,
yeah.
I was really looking. I kind of want to do that. And I think for... When we room up together, we should get like a whole sim setup.
Just
and
do a whole thing
fucking
in
race
room.
Each other.
I'm
the
fucking
time.
Down with that. I'll win. Or
you'll win.
Or
I'm gonna
take
put
that
in
money.
Hours.
Take
I'm gonna
the,
grind it.
Okay,
I'm gonna
cool.
Grind it
you
out
do that.
So can...
Take or you could take the money.
Okay.
Instead of investing it into this, take that money and then do lemons.
Yeah, I mean, like the thing is, I look at it, I'm like, you could buy like a really cheap like real car.
We have
for
a
this
real car
money.
Ready.
No, I know, yeah.
I know, I'm really
but
kidding.
Like,
there is a lot
like,
more money invested, but...
I don't know. I like tech, and I like cars and racing, and so I feel like...
Put the two together,
them.
Yeah.
And then it's also like, you kind of get to test drive a bunch of different cars. I know it's not the real thing, right?
It's damn close, though.
But
I mean,
it's getting so good now. I'm so impressed with how good it's getting. And so I really want to get a sim racing set up.
Even like, playing like Forza 4 or 5 or whatever was the new one, I remember I learned Sebring... on the game, and it was just with a controller, and then I went and raced at Sebring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, because there's no like seat controls, you don't realize like the elevation change and the fact that whenever you go around the corner, the car kind of hops. But then again, because I didn't have a modded game, I had to like modify within the game parameters some kind of Celica to make it like our Toyota Solara.
Interesting.
It's as close as I could get, but you know, it was something.
They didn't have a Toyota Solara in the game you were playing.
Well, why would you? Let's be honest. They don't even have a Camry.
Offended.
Yeah, I am too. Joking. I did actually, this is going off topic, but it's almost like it's the point of this podcast. Thank you for listening. But I was going to say, I bought that Toyota Solara. We went over this a long time ago, but it was like one of the first cars I purchased. And my dad was like, oh, I'll buy it from you. And then that's what started our racing team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've gotten a ZX2 and a Honda Civic that's coming here in the future. But we had that thing, and I do remember there was one point where I think this is quite recently. I was thinking about like, you know, getting the Golf, like spending a bit more money, and I was like, yeah, you know, pay it off, like actually get a new car, so I don't have to worry about it. And then I was like, or I could get a Solara and do all the racing things to it and make it like a road going race version, and then go to the track, you know, the racing events we do. And then I was like, no one gives a shit if they see that on the street. Like, why does that have big brakes?
No one cares about a Solara, really. Like,
the other thing, and I was just, they do have, the cool thing was, and a friend of my dad's was like, don't do that, the car's not worth it. But I did want to get the one I had. I wanted to put the TRD
supercharger
on,
kit,
which is super popular, but they don't make it anymore, so they got really expensive. but they're very cool and they're very
I love that Toyota cool. did that. That was such a cool thing. Because the TRD kit wasn't just for the Solera. It was for the Camry. So many cars.
Well, that engine was in everything.
It's not even that engine, too. They did that for like a multitude of engines, supercharger kits. Yeah, no, they put a lot of like TRD kits on the market. And what was great about that is that, I don't know if you get a dealer installed, but I think you still kept your warranty and all this shit with it. I think
it was fairly like easy to do.
Yeah, and it's you could basically create thing. Like an M version of your Toyota car.
Yeah,
but it's still totally like covered by Toyota.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if they do that anymore.
I mean, now they have weird stuff where it's like a Camry TRD and it's got this huge ass wing.
Yeah,
and it just comes from the factory. And I was like, it's kind of a. It's a very niche car for someone to buy, but it's at least different and cool. I wonder if they tend to do that kind of stuff.
I wonder if anybody does those like supercharger kits from the factory.
I don't know. Yeah, for the factory, I don't know. I know Ford Performance does stuff like that.
Really?
I don't know if it's as far as supercharging, but I know you know, you could get the drift stick for the Focus RS or something. Okay. And it's more than a handbrake. Like it actually disables all the traction aids, so you don't have to go whenever you're about to. Flip around a median as I used to do in my Fiat 500 when I was like 17. Anyway, it's like you go and push 18 buttons and hold them for 10 seconds as you're coming up to the turn, and then you go, okay, got it, and then you yank.
No, I remember that. In the Fiesta I had, you'd have to scroll through a bunch of menus and then like click like traction control off, and then you have to wait, and there's like this bar that goes down, and then you're just like, okay, are you sure now about it's that? Off. Yeah.
Didn't we have to pull a fuse for yours?
Yeah, okay, so you can turn the traction control off on the Fiesta, but you can't turn the stability control off in the menu.
Yeah.
But you can pull a fuse and it turns all of it off.
It turns off the ABS though.
It turns off the ABS. It turns off the hill start, I think. It turns off like a bunch of few other like random things.
Yeah.
But basically like all electronic aids are like out the window. Which is really cool. But it also means that your dashboard like lights up like a fucking Christmas tree. Like it's just doing? Like everything's lit up.
Please take me to
it. It was so funny. And I remember when we were there at X undisclosed location filming X
it was totally legal the private thing. Property that we were doing the video absolutely. For the other thing totally, the drifting Genesis and the flag anyway
we asked for permission and we got it and it was totally
we did
yes. Anyway for that
everything was copacetic as fuck and the cop drove by and went have a good day for and that just fucking kept going anyway
I was like I took all that off and I was like, I wonder if I could get the Fiesta brakes to lock up. I couldn't, probably because I wasn't brave enough. It actually braked like really well. It stopped really quick. And
that's a good chassis. Like at the end of the day,
It braked really strong, and I was impressed. But I took that fuse out, and I was like trying to do some dumb shit with it. Whatever.
It was hilarious.
When I put it back in, not everything turned on again.
And I remember that because we're sitting for like 15 minutes.
I was like, I don't like care. That much?
But you're like, I've broken my nice car.
Yeah, like, I know, because like, I'd like not gotten it that long ago. And so I was like, fuck. And so we like tried taking it in and out again and this and that. Turns out I just needed some time to, I guess, it's like, yes, I have got stability control again. Yes. I have, you know. But it was just interesting. And I totally thought I'd broken the Fiesta by pulling a fuse and then putting it back in again.
I wouldn't put it past Ford, but, like, you know.
Right.
The computer's just like really, what Ford, the fuck is this? You
for this one.
They go bring it to a dealership and that kind of thing.
Okay.
There's something else I'm just thinking of like weird computer stuff like that. I remember there was some car I had where in order to reset the fuel light, it was like turn the key on, pump the gas pedal X amount of times, turn it off, turn it back on, open the door, close the door, and it was fine.
The fuel light?
The oil change light.
Oh yeah,
my there's was weird like that too. Stuff like that.
Yeah, the weird thing is I did an oil change because I was like it probably needs one. And then, like, not a week later... Time. Yeah, no, it was just like, I feel like it's been long enough. Not a week later, it's like, you need to change your oil. And I was like, clearly this is just a certain amount of miles sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how do I remove this? And sure enough, it's on forums. And you turn the car off, and then you put it in, like, the second position, which for me is, like, you press the button.
Oh, yeah, because like, you got keyless go.
The clutch in. Yeah. And then you...
Oh, to be a part of the bourgeoisie. I have a key that flips out that they never redesigned from 1998, impressive. So...
I don't have a key.
My dad got my car.
I should, but I don't.
Well... Oh, yeah, you don't actually have the metal key.
Yeah, there's supposed to be metal
key. So if your battery dies, you're fucked.
I am fucked.
Because you can't even get the cover off. Or does yours have a key cover? I used to work there, so I'm just saying...
No,
the Mustangs have a thing where...
Yeah, I basically can't do shit. Like,
that's nice. My car has it, too. It's like you're supposed to flip the key out, stick it in a groove under the driver's door handle, push it up, slide it out, and a cover comes off, and then you get it the key.
If it ever takes more than a few cranks to turn, I am putting a new battery
in. Yeah, I was about to say. Because my Genesis did that. Do you remember that? I had to push start it for like a month.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Because I was trying to find a new battery.
And it would always like leave like little black marks because it would like...
It would go chirp. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it would chirp.
And I get friends. I'm like, hey, can we push this down the parking garage hill? And
that was so funny for...
Because it had enough power to turn on the ignition because it also had keyless go.
Yeah.
Which if you don't have that, you're kind of screwed. Like, I left the lights on in my diesel car and the amount of cranking that thing, it... No, it didn't. I tried to bump start it backwards down my driveway and it just locked up. It was like, this is not happening. It's a very like heavy, you know, everything up there, but very dense, the diesel. But no, I remember doing that thing. Also, this is random. Here's actual consumer advice.
Okay, cool.
Not like our normal shtick, but that's like great. Actual consumer advice. If you do have a Hyundai Genesis or whatever, Hyundai like parts are cheaper than like Rock Auto. And they're Hyundai branded and have Hyundai warranty.
That's crazy.
Just on the whole, I was looking at stuff. I mean, I ruined the rear end of my car. I don't know if you remember. I went over a pothole and just...
I
nearly ripped the wheel off of it. But, like, it bent the whole, like part of the subframe back there. It was, like... I mean, it was covered through insurance. But, like, I mean, even parts cost. I think it was, like... It's only, like... I say only, but, like... It was only like a grand or something. Like it, in reality, for the parts that bent,
pretty impressive.
For the parts that bent, like, and the alignment, and the
control arms, and all this crap. Yeah,
and it bent like bushings and all this stuff. And they just went up there and like, yeah, it's here you go.
Nice.
But it was not bad. Thank okay, this is another thing. Someone told us to. Excuse me. Someone we were speaking to earlier decided to tell us to mention this because they had an interest in it. But sort of cars that are amphibian cars and that sort of thing. Which I couldn't think of anything. I know there was like. Well, Top Gear made 3, and those were horrible.
Okay, yeah.
That was amazing.
I don't know if I even count those. There was a Lotus that was equipped to be amphibious, I think, for
Bond's Lotus?
Yeah, it was a Bond film,
I mean, it
wasn't
real.
Right? Was it? It wasn't real at all?
No, it was blue screen and green screen like that.
There is a genuine amphibious car
under the water
there.
Or over the water? Because there was a couple over the water. I know there was like,
believe,
like the 60s.
I believe over the water.
When that was your new convertible leisure craft and it was like the size of a Mini Cooper.
Oh man.
VW had the Schwimmwagen.
Water car Panther. Amphibious Jeep car boat.
Is this new?
I've never seen this one.
I never want to see that again in my life. That is the worst thing I've seen.
It does not look great. There was some, I swear I found... I think they were made by, like, it was, like, some Scandinavian company.
There was a Swedish company that made, like, a hydrofoil one.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking
And they did
of.
Some weird Porsches, and they would just do design shit all the time. And they were really cool. Very niche
they were
market,
interesting,
I mean.
Yeah.
But it was really, really cool.
It's interesting. That thing does exist. But, like, hardly. And it's, like, who buys that kind of thing?
Yeah, there was one. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was called,
I think
like, the
you
Amp
buy
the
it
car.
If you're a Bond villain. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
like in real
Bond
life,
has come
in
his Lotus Esprit and go under the water
for this very specific mission.
Your pinky finger, $1 million. You know, like Dr. Evil. But no, Bond had the Lotus.
It's like
thing.
No one has a genuine use for those cars. I feel like
no, they had one in
the '60s.
It's
neat though.
It's a cool idea, but they had one called the Amphicar or something
Amphicar.
Like that. It was in the '60s.
Oh, fuck, that was probably really bad.
I imagine it was. You should probably tighten your mount. That would help.
I want to place this in a place that's convenient.
Why you got it sitting under your crotch?
I don't know. It's nice. There we go.
Shut up and drink your Foster's. David bought himself some Australian beer.
Oh, yes. I bought a Foster's. And I bought one of those.
And spilled it. Okay, the can's gone forever.
It's empty.
I could tell. I don't really care, to be
honest. Okay, whatever. It's one of them thick boys. It's like a... You know how... So, like, there's beers that come in, like, tall boys, and it's, like, twice the amount of fluid. This is a little bit more than twice the amount of fluid, but it's all thickness. It's not a tall boy. It's a thick boy.
It's like the height of a normal 12-ounce can.
Almost, yeah.
I have
it's
one.
Pretty
of
much.
I don't think I can drink that. Probably not.
I don't know. It was pretty alright.
Hey, for our Australian viewers, listeners, I don't know if we have any.
Yeah.
We're multinational, we'd like to think.
I would love for Australian people to listen to our shit. I love Australia. I don't know why.
They're like America, but they have more fun.
I feel like if it's like Texas was like a whole country.
Yes.
And they were a little bit more laid back.
Yes. That's actually...
Yeah.
That's America's... For, if you are Australian and you are offended by that, do feel free to keep that opinion to yourself. But that's how you come across to Americans, it seems, or Texas. But they do cool shit. Unfortunately, that almost goes into a thing. I was... almost goes into car news. I read a story recently where... GM's been trying to pull out of the Australian market.
No, really?
Forever. I think it's been for the past year or two, but I didn't really read into it, but I think people were, like, describing it as, like letting go is always like so hard to do, and they can't really get out of the market. But the problem is, it's like if they leave, it's just going to be Fords.
Yeah,
like there's nothing. I mean, the other thing that sucks about that is like they get cool cars. They get the big rear drive sedans, like you know, monocoque stuff like that, and they get the Utes. If GM start, not like they were ever going to bring it back here because for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've started to take risks recently. I know COVID is kind of, aside from that, you know, with the things like, you know, the new Corvette and stuff they're doing with Cadillac and things like that. It's cool to see, but it's like, I want to see them bring those cars here. And they did with the SS and the Pontiac, but then, you know, I think I've complained on here before, like they have a tendency to bring these really cool European or Australian cars over and then just don't market them. That's like, I mean, the fuck's the point if you're going to do all this stuff to get it legalized in the US?
I feel like I never saw the SS on any kind of ad, you know what I mean? Maybe I just wasn't looking hard enough, but I really feel like I...
Because
I've seen Chevy ads, and they're shit.
Find new roads.
I know that's someone's slogan. I don't even associate it with Chevy.
I don't know if it's GM, I remember
the Chevy one, where it's like, it was like some like new Malibu.
Real and people, not there. Actors? Those?
Yes, yes, yes.
I fucking hate those.
It was fucking hilarious. They show it. It was like D-Badge or something. Or like, wow, is this a Ferrari? And I'm like, no, he's stupid.
Yeah, or she...
It's obviously Chevy's design language. Where have you been for like the past like 10 years?
But also, isn't that a shit way to fucking rep your company? Okay, two people walk in, or whoever it was, and they go, I don't know, is it like a Beamer? Which shows a couple things. Regardless if they're real people or not actors, which I don't think they are. But, you know, however far that line gets really drawn. But the thing is, the thing is, it goes like, you know, is this a BMW? Because clearly the consumer doesn't give a shit about how something looks. I mean, to a certain extent, you know, that's one reason. But the other thing is, how shit is your car that people don't come in and go, wow, that's the new Malibu. They go, is it something better than what I am presented with?
They showed the footage of the person being, is that a BMW? But they didn't show the footage of, oh, really? That's a Chevy? Wow. And then they cut it there. But what the person was finishing saying was, I'm so used to Chevys looking like boring pieces of shit. So I'm so surprised that they made something with a little bit of character in it, you know?
For once in like 20 years.
And it's like, why market like that?
It's stupid.
They could do so much cool shit for the SS. I think they could really like dive into the Australian market. Having an Australian voice, have like drifting around.
You're a real Bogan guy to come on and go
show the fucking footage of like a V8 supercars. Racing series.
Yeah.
And being like V8 supercars for the road. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't hit with the American market.
I still want one.
I just think that would be so cool. That would be so much better than like, wow, is this a Maserati? And I'm like, fuck you.
It's fucking horrendous. They also do that. I mean, they do that with all their brands, though. The one I hate. You know what? I just remember. Okay. You know what the one I hate is?
Yeah.
The one I hate is... I'm in the Buick. And they're like, that's not a Buick. And I was like, bruh, like, they're trying... it's kind of clever, but the problem is the cars they're showing are just the most generic, like Duplo looking, like bland
as
fuck.
At least they're self-aware enough to be like, yeah, we understand Buick was boring for a really long time.
Yes,
it's like we get it.
I have another thing.
I like
that
they know that.
Yeah,
but still, it's like it's kind of a self-dissing that I don't know.
I like the approach, but the problem is the cars they put in the ads are just like rebadged like cheap Chevys, like the Chevy Trax and like the that's the other thing. This is my other big point I was about to make. Sorry for interrupting you, but like,
go ahead. No, you're not.
What they bring most of Buick's back catalog is Euro cars. They're all Opels.
Yeah,
GM sold off Opel a couple years ago to Peugeot or Renault. It was one of the big French companies, so they don't have that anymore. But the thing is,
still
it's like
doing Opel cars.
Well, what they have still rights for. There's a very cool. It's the Opel Insignia, which we don't get here. We get it as a Buick, and it's supposed to be upmarket. It's just, you know, it's a European car that's rebranded as a Buick. They put a bit more chrome on it, and they go, ooh, it's sporty. And they had some really cool versions. They had, like, whatever the VXR equivalent is here, and had some. It was called the Regal GS, because they used to have a fast Regal in the 90s and before that, and it was that. That was really, really, really cool car. It had Brembos, like, 2-liter turbo, all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
I'd still love one of those cars today. Then they have the new version, which has got, like, a bigger V6 in it. Mm. You know, instead of the turbo engine, it's all-wheel drive, same kind of thing. It's a liftback, which we don't get here. But then... And that's a Regal, but then they have one called the Regal Tour X, and it's a wagon. It's an estate car. Cool, it's a good-looking estate car, but the problem is, again, I've just told this to you.
Okay.
When was the last time you saw an ad for that?
I mean, never, like, I don't know. I feel like I don't watch a lot of media, where
I don't either. I get Beetlecats, but I get the stupid targeted ads from Ford all the time on YouTube. I don't know what I'm looking up, but like me googling Mustangs drifting into crowds or some stupid shit like that. But you know, nonetheless,
I love that shit. So maybe we're enforcing Mustang stereotypes and we're being like racist or something towards Mustang drivers. But well, it's so funny. It's
they don't seem to be bad drivers because let's just say, run through the people we know. Jake, he blew us up and did some other shit to it and then sold it because something was too expensive, which is understandable. It was an ecobus. There's Nicole.
Very true.
She drove my car into the backside of our own garage when we lived together.
Exactly.
That's a whole other story, but
you know. I knew a dude. I'm not gonna name him, but he totally was like drifting in his V6, like SN95.
Oh, the best one, yeah.
Yeah, and he just fucking was drifting and curbed it like really bad.
Did it just pop the wheel off?
Bent the shit out. Yeah. It didn't pop up, but he just bent the shit out of it and eventually like just sold it for like nothing. No, that was it. It was probably like totaled from...
If you have a V6 SN95 Mustang and you're doing that in it, you probably don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
Also, anyway, I don't know if you can hear that on a recording, but what sounds like F1 cars on the tollway, I live quite near a tollway at this house, my current address, it's not that, it's Honda Civics. So we'll just move back to... We're going to ignore that. Probably a bike or two. Yeah, there's bikes that go up here. It's really funny because I'll pull an all-nighter or something like for an exam, and then it's like 6 a.m. rolls around, and you just hear like...
That sounds bike, cool. Right?
No, it's two bikes, and they sound in tandem like kind of an F1 car. But actually, it's not a bad
like,
sound.
Pretty much. It's like a V8, you know?
Yeah.
Like the 2.4.
The stupid little 1.5-liter V6s they have now. I can't watch F1. It's just too boring.
F1?
I want to like it. I've always wanted to. I watched it when I was younger. It just turned into like such a clamp down, it feels. And I know this is like people talking about the technology is very impressive. The safety stuff they're finally adding, which I know the driver's like, oh, it doesn't matter, but open wheel racing is fucking dangerous.
Oh, absolutely.
IndyCar, okay. I went to an IndyCar race.
Uh-huh.
Now, then, granted, we live in Texas. We live in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Texas Motor Speedway is a very big racetrack here. It's an oval. They just go around in an oval.
I don't care how impressive your cars are. If you're just going around in an oval, that's not going to be interesting.
No.
I don't. Like,
and it's very loud, and they have similar things to F1. I know it's a different race and completely, but it's like they've got very tiny little V6s with like big turbos on it, and you just kind of go, and it's just a noise. Because the problem is, you know, when you turbocharge a car, it kind of sucks up a lot of the nice exhaust noise. They can't rev as high.
Yeah.
All this other stuff, and then it just kind of goes, it's just a noise. It's not like, that sounds really good. Because I know the V10 F1 cars, those sounded great.
Those sounded amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was crazy. That was, I think, the best era of F1. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot.
I think that was being just curtailed as we grew up, because then they went V8s and now they're at Turbo 6s and all this other stuff.
Absolutely. I was never huge into F1 cars, and I mean, I understand that they're extremely fast, and like they're at the limits of, you know, grip and what's possible with aero and cars and stuff, but the kind of racing I really like is perhaps the more like niche weird shit. I really like, like V8 supercars is really cool. I also really like Citium Super Trucks. I never showed you
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
It sounds like a super like,
and it kind of is, but it's kind of hilarious.
But it's also, like, it's like desert trucks, sort of. They look like desert trucks. They look like a...
they almost look like Dakar racers.
Yeah,
they're not quite that far. If you've never seen it and you're listening, it's like they build jumps in the track.
Absolutely.
And it'll be, like, at a big NASCAR stadium, and they just...
Yeah.
Cover the infield, and then, you know, they're drifting
huge
around. And
yeah, they're always drifting, doing some weird shit. They're always like lifting wheels off the ground because the suspension is super soft. Because they have to go off these jumps, and sometimes it's a mixed track too. Like it'll be gravel and like
it's like
dirt
a full
and stuff.
Rally cross
and
type
then,
of thing.
Yeah, and then like a pavement, and it's always super crazy and really interesting, and it's really wild. I thought it was so cool.
And I saw it for the first time in person. I think it was with you because we went to that track, and then we were leaving, and we're like, what are they setting up for now? And they were doing like qualifying laps or something. No one was there.
I know, no one cares. I'm like, this is way cooler
than
NASCAR.
Why we're checking
NASCAR. It was after a NASCAR race.
Yeah, that's what.
And I remember hearing it, and I was like,
that's different.
These are not. This is not quite NASCAR. Like, you can hear like this is not quite what NASCAR sounds like. And so we walk out, and I'm like, I can't fucking believe it. It's Stadium
Supertracks. It's happening here. Yeah,
it's Stadium Supertracks. I was like,
I mean, they also did Initial D. Fucking it. Formula D there. Every single time
Again,
I try to talk about Formula D, I
like,
say Initial
car
D.
League that
Yes.
I fucking love that. That's so entertaining.
My favorite thing to watch is Bathurst Racing, the thing they do in Australia.
Bathurst Racing?
It's like Bathurst Racing. No, I've been told it's basically just a fight between GM and Holden and like Ford supporters. But there's some great driving in there. And I don't remember all the stipulations. I've seen it enough.
What
I should
kind
have
of
known.
Car
by
now?
You're talking everything from like a Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. Like a 90s one, an EG hatch that's okay. racing around there with like old Ford Falcons and
what?
Stuff like that, and the V8 stuff, and it's
that's
this
cool.
like David and Goliath thing. But there was a guy, I think it was Brian something, it was a couple of years ago, and he just like he was racing this little Honda Civic,
mm-hmm.
and I know it was done up a bit for racing and everything, but the driving that comes out of that racing series is insane. Like the path, I'll show you when we're finished with this.
Mm-hmm.
I might have shown it to you before. It just blows my mind. And they go, oh, like, and the fucking announcers are like losing their shit. And it's very like wheel to wheel. It's like Lemons,
that, yeah.
but with people who have sponsorships. And Lemons is in Australia now, too.
Hell yeah.
Which I'd love to travel and watch that because it's like same personalities we have here. Mm. And I also like Lemons a lot, too, because it's kind of one of those. The reason they started, I know I talked about this in the past, because I have this whole thing with SCCA. It's boring. It's very, like, it's not, like, the regulation part. I get the safety stuff, but it's the amount of money you pay. You don't get to do that much. Dallas-Fort Worth is, like, a very big, you know, metropolis, and then a lot of stuff's done at TMS. And they do other stuff, like, around the area, but it's just, like, I don't know if it's because there's so many people. It's just every time I went to do autocross or anything like that, I was like, this is boring. You know, mm-hmm. it's fun. And there are people who do that on the weekends. And if you do that and that's your thing, awesome.
Yeah.
But Lemons was set up because people kind of like the same attitude I have. They were fed up with like the amount of money you have to pay, the sort of regulation around it, and the lack of fun. They just kind of suck the fun out of it. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was going there with like a 20-year-old 300,000-mile BMW. I'm
yeah.
obviously not there to set a lap record.
Of course.
The,
yeah.
the great thing was there was a guy who was really into it, and he was like, hey, like you're new, do you want to come on a ride along? And he told me he had a Focus ST when they came out. That
mm-hmm.
was great. And I was like, okay, awesome. Like, I can get into this. But then I went to a couple of things, and I was like, this is just not worth the time and money. But
mm-hmm.
I digress. But Lemons was set up because they were like, why don't we just bring the fun back into racing?
Yeah.
You know, they limit tire tread wear, so it's, like, not super sticky, so you kind of have to slow down. And then reading the rules, it's written very just, like, matter of fact. They're like,
uh-huh.
oh, you're going to complain that there's tires that are, you know, not stickier than that? Yeah, that's the point. So like suck it up. It's kind of their whole attitude towards
oh,
it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll do penalty laps. I remember someone turned up in a, I don't remember if they tried to hide it or whatever, but it was kind of like this turbo, some Japanese thing. It might have been an old Supra, like with the 7M, you know, one of the 80s
mm-hmm.
Supras. And it was a really cool car, just as it stood. But, you know, it still had the turbo stuff in there. And it was going to be a quick runner. And
mm-hmm.
it'd be in Class A. They do Class A, B, and C.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just, what they do is they're like, they kind of read the team when they come in.
Okay.
I mean, when we went in, we do Wino Racing was our team, which
mm-hmm.
still is, and we're all dressed up as like Fruit of the Loom costume type shit.
Excellent.
And you know that kind of, that kind of shtick, and it's like yeah, and our Solera, and then now we've got the ZX2, and it's just fun. But they
mm-hmm.
kind of read the teams as they come through, and I know I remember sitting there for one of them like that with some big fast JDM car, and they were like, we're gonna give you like -100 penalty laps just to start with.
What?
Because they if they're really competitive,
oh.
or if they get flagged for penalties, like if they keep spinning off, it's like. You need to chill out,
okay.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And some of the teams will get like, it's like, and they will just go, then you can leave. They're very, and I'm like, I really like how cut and dry that is.
Big dick energy.
Because
right
it's
there.
Just like, they're like, you're here to have fun. And then, there's a team, I think they're called Speedy Cop, I think, that they did a car where they just took, they basically kind of made a steel frame, and they talked to the organizers because they obviously want to make sure it was safe and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally, you remember the Catfish Camaro that we were talking about a few
yeah,
years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
They took the body and flipped it upside down on, like, the chassis.
Okay.
And they built a stupid thing. So you're driving around, and it's just, it looks like a Catfish Camaro on its roof. Then they did one where it was, a pop-up trailer, like once people tow behind their, you know, trucks and whatever, and the roof just comes straight up, and then it kind of folds out, looks like a tent. You've probably
mm-hmm.
seen them. They're called pop-up trailers, whatever.
Okay.
They just made a race car out of that.
Interesting.
So they just basically put it around a car. Then they took a fuselage from an airplane and put it around a car. And they were like, this is our car for this like series or season.
This is,
and it breeds that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's impressive stuff.
It's
it
great.
Really
and then, you know, it's like if you follow the rules, and there really aren't that many,
mm-hmm.
and there's everything there to keep you safe, it's written very simply, and it's
yeah.
like, if you do this, you'll pass the tech inspection. If you sit there and argue, they're going to go, okay, go fix it, or you're not racing, like you're just not getting past this and all this kind of stuff. But it's it's a lot of fun, and it keeps you safe. There was I remember the other thing is, like, you roll a car, you're out for a year.
Yeah,
there was a girl there who rolled a car.
Oh man.
And it was just a real unfortunate, like, circumstances, but I think the team in general were kind of like trying to big dick it around the whole day. And they were kind of like fed up with it, and then she rolled it and they were like, okay, nah, you can't, you cannot race in the series for the next year, which sucks, but, like, you know,
I mean, that is a pretty big deal.
It's safety at the end of the day. It's also, gosh, have some fun. Don't take it too
reminds
seriously.
Reminds me a little bit of, I did solar car racing in high school.
Solar car.
Solar
car. Because every time you used to say that to me when we met, I was like, oh, you do solo car racing, solo, like as in SCCA solo. And I was like, that's
solar.
Cool.
Solar.
Yeah.
It is, they are, this is a high school racing league. I know, crazy, right? But yeah, it's like a one-seater, typically solar car. A solar powered car with, like, panels, and a lot of them are, like, three wheeled and things, and they're, most of them are, like, bespoke built by the students, you know, like welded together and whatnot. It just reminded me, because I guess it wasn't technically a roll because it didn't roll all the way over. I didn't flip our car. This was not our team.
Yeah,
but there was a team that they were doing the slalom, and understandably, like, these cars are built by students, so they probably don't handle the best, and they're not made for handling. And then also, they can be top heavy because of the solar panels are often laid out on the top. And so,
I mean, that's where the sun is, so yeah. But
yeah, obviously, right. And so they were just, like, doing the slalom, and they were doing the turnaround at the end, and it just teetered over and just,
damn,
like, on the side. And of course, everybody's, like, rushing over, making sure everyone's okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there is, you know, there's danger involved. There's a lot of, you know, high voltage crap over there. But what's crazy was that team actually still raced.
So it didn't break the car?
Oh, no, it did.
Oh, okay. But
they
fixed it.
But they busted their ass, like, that night and, like, you know, barely slept. And they actually raced that car.
There's a lot of that in Lemons, too, which is my favorite. My favorite is there was a team who brought in a Hyundai Scoop. We call it in the U.S. the S Coupe abroad, but it's basically, like, I think it's like an Elantra chassis underneath. They had a whole other car on retainer. We actually do that too. We have a whole other Solera V6 on retainer with a good engine and everything and transmission. Yeah, yeah. So if we need to, we yank it out because that engine is still on the timing belt it was when
I had it
4 years ago. So I don't know how that's going to go. Larry was our lucky. I was like, that's an interference engine, but, like, whatever. Anyway, but, like, they just worked through the night and, like, redid it. Go follow them. If you just, if you're not, haven't heard of this or whatever, go Google 24 Hours of Lemons. It's a play on words of, like, Le Mans and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Lemons, you know, being the whole, like, the, I don't know, people don't really say that anymore. I mean, there's lemon laws and stuff like that, but, you know, for being a crap car, you know, if you buy it new or whatever. But just do that. They've got an Instagram. They do great photo ops. The Judge Phil, I can't remember his last name, Merle Martin, you can look that online. Look that up online. He's got huge galleries of, like, just photos from it. It's amazing.
I love shit like that because, I mean, like, the motivation that you get out of some of those teams.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's not even just the racing. It's the building, you know. And when shit goes wrong, the amount of, like, shitty but, like, amazing engineering and half-acid full-acid sort of, like, jangling together MacGyvering that happens,
we had some of that
is amazing.
It's so,
because, you know, you get there and I'm like, you know, whatever the judges tell you, they're like, this isn't a spec, that isn't a spec, something breaks, you're like, I'm gonna fucking race, damn it. It's and so everybody always comes together and fixes the car and it's great. There's someone in the room, another one, a person also named Jacob, and I don't want to say too much about the solar car thing because I want him on it, and we're gonna talk your ass off.
We'll bring more about this again, our guest thing,
because we had so much fun there. And I encourage anybody that's in high school, and if their high school is doing it, to please join that program. That's amazing.
I remember driving past it because I live way out in the middle of nowhere where I grew up, and I remember driving up to my hometown from who knows where. I remember passing them on the highway. Then you told me they'd do some kind of cross country type run.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were like, yeah, that was us. And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, my school didn't have any of that. So it's like, it's impressive to see that kind of stuff. It's really, really cool.
It's really wild.
I just remembered another thing where one of our drivers, she bent the Solera.
Okay.
So, like, you know, the front kind of frame, basically firewall forts, it's basically like a square. She kind of parallelogrammed it. I forgot what happened. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the way they straightened it was, like, they attached it to a building and the paddock, and they just kind of, with, like, a come along and ratchet straps, and they kind of straightened it back up. And then we just went with that and that kind of thing.
It's so funny.
Again, the great engineering that comes out of that.
My dad, we had a, I believe this is on the, it was either on the Mirage or the Caravan that we had, but it was in a front end rack.
Mm-hmm.
And the frame was bent.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting, I believe it was just like a fang jangle of like stuff to make this jack fit. And so he used a car jack. And he mm-hmm. bent back the front of the frame, back where it's supposed to be, so that the radiator could be replaced.
That's impressive.
Because the radiator was busted. Yeah. And so the frame needed to be like, and everything needed to be like realigned. And so he literally just bent it with the jack back where it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it worked for like a really long time after that. That's not the reason it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if it works, fucking do it. Whatever.
It was amazing. Yeah.
There was a girl I knew in high school, and, her dad was one of our neighbors, and she actually rolled a Ford Ranger in the night. I think she fell asleep at the wheel. She was totally fine.
Holy shit,
but
yeah.
But he actually, he brought the truck back to his house.
Uh-huh.
The frame was fine. Yeah. Cab got, like, a big dent in it, uh-huh. and the bed was fucked. But the frame was in good shape, but it kind of had done the parallelogram thing.
Yeah.
So what he did was, he has, like, a big hanger. We live in an airport and that kind of thing. He actually attached it between two corners of the hanger.
Oh my god.
And just pulled on both ends and straightened the body out.
Oh god.
And then where there was like a dent in the bed,
yeah.
he just hammered it back out the other way and like ground it so it was flat.
Uh-huh.
And then like kind of stuck some Bondo in the corner of the cab to do that kind of thing and straighten the cab and the whole kind of thing and just straighten the frame very like, you know, meticulously, but also not, because he's just using a building and like big power tools. And she drove it for like another 3 years.
It's incredible.
I'm just like
I love that kind of stuff, man.
It's fantastic. It would piss. Yeah, dude, I just think that's right. Because he was like, oh, don't worry about the. Because they had the truck forever. It was just like they used it to run around like their property. And they was just like, yeah, just drive this in high school. It's there. It's free. Just use it.
There is some ingenuity that comes out of necessity like that, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, well, I'll just buy you a new Ranger. Or it doesn't make sense for you to just go buy her a new Ranger, you know? You're like, I'm going to fucking bend it back, you know?
And the thing
is, and then you have that crazy story to tell.
That truck, I just remembered it went through so much. She rammed someone. He fucking did the same kind of thing to it. So kind of like what your dad did, I think. He just pushed it back out and put a new radiator in it.
He got her a Ranger because he knew that was a car that he could bend back. You know what I mean? If there's a car you could bend back in the place, it was probably a Ranger.
To whatever Ranger. They were the same thing for like 20 years. The same thing. Yeah, they're great, and even the Explorer, but dude, she rear-ended someone, she rolled it,
excellent.
Someone T-boned her.
Nice.
And, like, it still kept going. She kept driving it until she graduated, and then she bought her own car and that kind of thing by that time, but he was just like, yeah. He eventually got rid of it, because, like, both his daughters graduated, and he was like, eh, I don't need this anymore.
It's done its job.
Exactly. Like, it's kept two girls safe in high school. I've repaired it
enough times, yeah.
But they just, like, oh, I got wrecked so many times. I just forgot completely all That's about crazy. That, and it was... It was awesome. That guy's actually really handy with that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, he's just a neighbor, but he's a really cool guy, and he's just, like, he goes and, there was another neighbor who had, like, this C1500. It was a 97 Chevy Silverado 1500 extended cab step side, if that's your thing. I don't really like the way they look, blah, blah, blah. It's a really square one. It was the last one with the 350. I'm just explaining those for, like, the two truck people listening. But anyway, you know, because whatever. But my dad got that out of this dude's, like, field. Because what he ended up doing, basically, is he, you know, and I've done this, too, because it's Texas. It's hot all the time. Oh, I'm not going to worry about putting antifreeze in it because I just need to top it up right now. It's leaking.
Yeah, yeah.
And he basically did that. Got to the point where it was all water. And then it got cold in Texas, which sometimes happens overnight, and it cracked the block.
So
it was just parked there. So my dad put a new engine in it, and we used that for a long time. And it was not in good shape as the guy left it, so it just kind of deteriorated after that. But it's actually, he sold it, and someone refixed it all and is selling it again because it's just not enough to tow his trailer. It's impressive, the life that trucks have. But anyway, that same neighbor just bought like an XJ Cherokee, the kind of really cool square ones I made forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the same neighbor who had the truck, and the guy just walked over because they live next door, and he's like, do you want to get rid of that? And I wanted it because I was like, those are cool. My mom was like, no, you can't have an airbag. You know, I was a kid. But then he took it over, and he was just like, yeah, just put transmission fluid in it. It's fine now.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was it. Like, he just has all these, but like, he bought I might have said this before, I'm not sure, but he bought a turbo, one of those, it was a Mark IV Golf Jetta chassis, kind of like late 90s, early 2000s, but he bought a turbo Beetle, which is the same thing underneath, whatever. And I remember he got it from some friend of his who was just like, yeah, it's fucked up. It doesn't work. I don't want it. It was less than a grand.
Yeah.
And he brought it home. It kept overheating.
Mm-hmm.
I think he ended up doing like a head job on it because he's... I mean, I think I could do that or you could do that. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but you just replace a head gasket, that kind of thing, kind of get everything leveled. So everything was good. Still overheated. Did another thing. Still overheated. No, he doesn't have that much money into it. And then he was just sitting there one day, like, letting it run. And he's like, fan's not turning on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just a solenoid in the fan. It's the same dude. And he just seems to have all these pitfalls of, like, real easy, like, he just finds a cheap car, is broken, supposedly.
Yeah.
Puts less than, like, $500 into it. And then he's got a new cheap daily for as long as he sells it. And then he always sells it at a profit.
I
hate it.
I see stuff on like Craigslist or the equivalents of Craigslist now that Craigslist mostly dead, but
OfferUp's amazing.
Yeah, OfferUp and stuff. With gems. It's like engine broken or something like that. And I'm like, is it really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just something really small. I remember speaking of like the fan not working, I felt like the biggest fucking mega mind genius when this happened. But my girlfriend Skylar's mom. Sorry, you just made a face. You didn't expect to be mentioned? Okay. Her mom's car. It's a... Oh my gosh, what is it? Is it a Buick?
It's a Lincoln.
Lincoln, sorry. Oh my gosh, got it confused.
That's not a Buick.
That's not a Buick. It's a Lincoln. But fucking, yeah, her Lincoln, it was overheating. Or like would turn off. I don't know exactly what happened.
What sort of Lincoln does she drive?
It was. It's a crossover. I don't know the letters and numbers. What is it, Skylar?
MKX?
Something like that.
MKT?
Who cares? I don't know.
You know the MKT, fun fact, not really fun. This harkens back to our first podcast. The MKT is the same as the Ford Flex. Anyway.
Incredible.
They're both hideous.
Anyway, and so it was overheating. And I was like, I asked them, like, tell me, like, you know, symptoms, right? Like, I'm a doctor, you know, and you just, how are you feeling? Like,
do
you have a cough? Let me grab your balls? Like, whatever they do. And
you should see another doctor. I don't think you're getting the care you need.
Fuck it.
They go straight to that.
And I was like, I am like 85% sure
85%.
That the fan is broken. And
was it?
Lo and behold, the fan was broken.
Wow.
And they ended up replacing it. And Skylar tells me later, and I'm like, I fucking told you.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot. People will come to me with their car questions. It's really funny to me. I've had people I haven't spoken to in months or years text me, and they ask me a question about the car, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to diagnose that via text. But, like, sometimes I'll go, I think, there was a girl I was driving around in high school with, and it was like me and her and another friend, and we were just driving around, like, something, like, waiting for, I don't fucking know, it was in the summer or something when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think she got her license for me. Like, we went in eight or whatever, and her car wouldn't start, and I was like, I don't remember the problem. It's been too long. But I was like, I think it's, like, this, this, and this. She calls her dad. She's like, I think it might be this, because I said it, and he was like, yeah, it's probably not fucking true. Because, like, it's his daughter. It's, like, just some boy is, like, saying, like, kind of mansplaining to her. But she asked, and I was like, I think it might be this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was right.
It feels fucking good, man.
Because she told me the next day, she was like, you were absolutely right. I was
like, fuck yeah. It feels so good to be like,
I'm so cool. And I was like,
again, like, you mega mind this shit. You're like, oh, yes. Are those the symptoms? Well, it can't be this, and it can't be that, so it must be the. And it just, it feels good, man.
It's normally simple things. I just know.
I can't say I can do that every time. Sometimes people tell me some symptoms, and I'm like, yeah, I don't fucking know.
Whatever. Yeah, just
take it to a mechanic. What are you talking to my ass
for? Yeah, or my favorite people ask me something. I'm like, is your car under warranty? Yes. Take it to the dealership and tell them to look at it because it sounds like a warranty issue.
Exactly.
Speaking of warranty issues, I've come to the conclusion, I think I mentioned this to David, I think I mentioned it to you already, but I was like, I've come to the conclusion that the car I should get next is an EcoBoost Mustang.
Okay.
Because if you get the V8, it's a muscle car.
Yeah.
It's not bad, it's a great engine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get the four-cylinder with the turbo, it's a sports car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking, and Mustangs hold their value, which is good and bad, but they've gone fairly down in price and all this stuff. And I really like him, and I like the new S550, but I read a piece of news recently. Apparently there's a class action lawsuit because, like, the manual transmissions keep breaking.
Really?
And I'm surprised.
They've been making manual transmissions for ages.
I think it's a Tremec, like, and they're, like, a good company.
Might have not even been Getrag or, you know, ZF, like,
they know what they're doing, so I don't know why.
That's wild. You know, I feel like if I were to buy a Mustang, I would actually buy V8 ones are great. Inline four turbo ones are also great. I feel like
the 2014 and before.
Hmm?
The 2014 and before.
I don't know. I feel like I would buy a V6 one.
Yes.
Hear me out.
No, that's
I would
fine.
Buy the V6 I'd buy one.
Four. That's blasphemous as fuck.
No, I mean,
and
I think
it's not
great.
Naturally aspirated. Also
okay, listen. Well, I could fucking tuck your ear off about how I hate the people get so, you know, into themselves about like, oh, a Mustang's supposed to be this, a Mustang's supposed to be that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like they were putting turbo fours in it since the 80s. The original one had it in line 6.
Yeah.
And it didn't make that much power. Like, stop pretending that the Mustang is some special shit when it's not.
Yeah.
It's not that special.
We had that whole thing whenever the Mach-E came out.
But anyway, I'd buy the V6, right?
Yes.
And they make supercharger kits
yeah.
for it. And I think that's what I do. Because that'd take it up to the power of the V8, if not beyond.
Yeah.
And it'd be a V6. So it's like probably a little lighter in the front. I don't really know.
It should be,
but
it's a really
I think
good
it'd be
too.
More interesting and cheaper and like...
The Duratec 37 is a really good engine.
Do you know if it had that same manual as the 4?
If you got the new... I'm pretty sure they all have the same one because I think they're all 6-speeds, if I remember correctly when I used to...
Okay.
Also, the thing is, if it does develop into something, Ford's going to come and recall it and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So if you were doing that. But there was a guy I knew when I worked there as a salesman who bought a really cheap, you know, it was like... a year or something, you know, the year that was about to stop being manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
Say it was like an 18 still for sale in 2019.
Yeah.
And my boss there, sales manager, was like, fuck it. The deals you get as a salesperson at a dealership are insane already.
Uh-huh.
And then he was just like, we'll undercut that a lot. So
oh,
the guy
man.
Was, it was a very nice, like, upper mid trim V6. And I
yeah,
was
yeah.
like, Cody, why'd you buy a V6? He's like, because I'm going to supercharge it. And I was like, that,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I get it
there
now.
There you go.
I don't know if he's done it yet. I haven't been back in years, so I have no idea. But the thought process on that one. I was like, that's a good idea. Because that's the same thing I wanted to do for the Charger.
Okay, so like the problem, I don't know. I do like Mustangs, but the problem I have with them is not that like, before I used to be like, oh, Mustang, whatever. Those are so, such
yeah.
a fuckboy car, this and that. It's a poser
yeah.
car, which I don't agree with anymore. Because I'm like, for the money, it's an amazing
that's
deal.
The thing. Yeah,
it's
that's
an amazing
it
deal. And you can definitely call yourself like a car guy and be into it and drive a Mustang. That's totally cool. I'm
yeah.
not against that. The thing is that they're so common, I wouldn't feel special, right?
Well, the good thing,
and so it's like, I think supercharging V6, you'd pop the hood and be like, wow, that's interesting. You
that's
know?
The other thing is there's so many modifications, because it is such a popular car.
Yeah.
It A, keeps the prices cheap secondhand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Ford and it's a Mustang. Let's be honest, it's not going to break anytime soon.
Yeah.
Even the turbo fours are like fairly bulletproof because they've been making them forever and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like there's so much aftermarket, and I started looking at that. It's fairly cheap stuff.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Can make yours unique.
Yeah,
it takes some effort, but like I was, you know, here's what we'll do to 2 years' time. We'll just both buy a Mustang and then just
exactly.
see what happens.
I do want to do that at some point. Both buy the same car and then do like a little like head to head something. Who can make the better car?
That actually be hilarious.
Right?
I,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It's automation,
but in real life,
yeah.
yes. Other than the money part, you know, automations, whatever. We'll do automation stuff here soon, too.
Then we'll both start our own car companies, like in real life
like
automation.
In real life,
and then
yeah.
in real life, design our own cars from the ground up.
And you can follow the journey on the Uninteresting Car Show. Could you fucking imagine? But like CEOs of two random ass companies that somehow.
And we're still making like YouTube
hey!
Videos.
And there's still like the shit quality. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's
like,
it's
hey,
like,
motherfuckers, this is what we're doing this time.
Instead of like a screenshot or a screen capture of like automation, it's just us walking around a factory. This is the new whatever the fuck it is. You know this.
I like
this,
to think we still keep that casual attitude. We're like, see, we're CEOs, and to prove this, and then we just like call over an employee. Hey, Jim, come over here. You're fired.
Get like, out of here. Oh, you're still like. Low-key a dick, and you're just fucking around and memeing it.
And then I'm like, just kidding.
I think we're going to leave it at that, so stay tuned for whenever we become CEOs, you know, of car companies, respectively,
mm-hmm.
and then attempt to do up a Mustang or something
yes.
like that, which, again, I might do that next. We'll see, but, alright, that's all I got. Whatever. Thanks for listening. I'm just kidding. Thank you very much for listening, Follow. We've actually made ourselves a calendar, which is very uninteresting, that goes with the name, but for our sakes, it'll organize us. So thank you for those who are listening and continue to listen. If you're new, subscribe if this is on YouTube. If not, just follow our podcast. That's all I got. David, do you have anything else to add?
What would I add?
I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Goodbye.
Okay, cool. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. We'll see you next week. 1 minute, Andy. We're just recording this. We're almost done if you want to fuck around. But just a sec, por favor. You can come in here, yeah. Anyway, what did we say? Australian cars.
Sim racing.
I could say that so we can go back and forth and you not, you know, monopolize the conversation.
Okay, that's fine.
Volvo 142.
All right, cool, cool, cool. Let's do the intro real quick. We talk about... we talk about Australia. We talk about...
this week on the Interesting Car Show, we talk about...
Australia and Australian car.
Say that again, but cleaner. This week on the Uninteresting Car Show,
we talk about...
Okay, cut me off.
This is going
so... No, I would have... This week... God, that was ass.
I'm sure I'll cut that into something. Okay.
Hi, welcome to the 15th episode where we know what we're doing.
Clearly professional at this point. Anyway.
No one will hear that. It's fine.